You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome back. Welcome in, super fans. It's been a long time coming. I have to give my most sincere apologies for the lateness because this is your boy, Maddie Savage. I've been on vacation. Mike knows this, and it's been great. Went down to Florida for a week and just had a great time. And even before that, I know it's been a little minute, but it's okay. It's all right. We're here. We have it. We just finished decision day. Mike, you there, guy?
Yes, I'm here, buddy. Yeah, we finished decision day, and this is perfect timing coming back. What's up, super fans? We're back. And, man, this has been crazy. Crazy, man. Decision day was just awesome last night, and I can't wait to dig in.
So I got a question out there for the super fans. Is anybody else drinking coffee by the bundles this morning? Because, I mean, I stayed up late. I mean, later than I normally do because it was decision day and you had the Eastern Conference games all at the same time and the Western Conference games all at the same time. And I didn't go to bed till a lot later than I normally do. So, but it was, I mean, 360 was going ham. MLS 360 was going ham because if you don't have the setup or whatever, MLS 360 is where they go into the key moments of the game, kind of similar to like NFL Red Zone, and they had like four matches all at the same time because with it being decision day, the last game, last day of the MLS regular season, so many teams' playoff futures, or even if they were in the playoffs period, was on the line. But let's not get too much ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about decision day. So we had the Eastern Conference was essentially the teams were settled, right, Mike? They knew who was going to be in, who was going to be out, but the seedings were up for grabs, and that was what the night was for the Eastern Conference. Do you want to maybe give the super fans a rundown on some of those matches that were important, interesting?
Yes. First of all, since we're going to be previewing and we're going to give our predictions about the wild card games here. But yeah, the Toronto Orlando City game. That was, I thought Orlando was going to hold it down. Toronto, they, you know, they always seem to get these victories as least expected. And they ended up beating Orlando City 4-2. And then the other match was the New England and Chicago game that ended up ending in a tie. So with Orlando losing, that essentially put them, they're going to be playing at Chicago, correct, for the wild card match.
That is correct.
Yeah, so I don't know. Looking at, we're going to preview that. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, guys. But, yeah, looking at that, that's going to be a very intriguing match between those two guys. And I don't know. I expected a little more from those two teams on decision day. So it's going to be very interesting. Cincinnati. Montreal, that was Cincinnati did what they does. You know, it was 3-0. Montreal didn't expect much of that. Cincinnati's been hot all year. The other matchup, Maddie, is Charlotte. I'm going to speak a little bit about them against Philly. Charlotte, they're showing me a lot. Beginning of the season, I thought they were going to be good, and now they're kind of hitting their stride. And they ended up beating Philly, and then Philly still ended up winning the East, right? Even though they lost, took an L last night. So Charlotte looks pretty good and whatnot. So,
I'm going to interject on you real quick. The main talking point about that game was the red card, about the Zaha red card. What was he thinking? You already had a yellow card, and you're self-proclaimed leader of the team. You've told everybody, "Oh, I'm the leader. I'm this and that." Uh-huh. And you go out and get that petty second yellow card towards the end of the match, the 90th minute, and get sent off. So now you're going to be affecting your team's playoff, future, because you're going to be out that very first game. And I was watching the wrap up show. Yeah, and they were saying that it's going to be one for sure because of the accumulation. Like it's a two yellow cards, not a straight red, but the fact that he did like a violent motion or whatever to get the second yellow, it could possibly be upgraded. So the one game could turn into two, and if it's two, that would be extremely harsh in my opinion. But it you just never know. It depends on the disciplinary committee, and as we've seen throughout the year, they're up and down. They'll be very strict with certain things, and then allow other things, as we've talked about, spitting and other nonsense, and let that slide. So we'll see. But Zaha, what are you thinking? Come on, dude. Like if you're as important to the team as you claim, as you've said, and everything else to their success, you can't put yourself in that position. You just can't do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Definitely some bonehead-ish by Zaha. And it's to be expected. This guy, as talented as he is, something like that is unacceptable, And like you said, now he's putting his team at risk. I think they're going to be, they're hosting. They're going to be at home, if I'm not mistaken. But still, he's going to be out that first match. And they're very unpredictable with the suspensions and such. So you're right, man. I'm not quite sure how it's going to be, but either way, that was, unacceptable, for his team and whatnot. And in Charlotte, like I said, as well as they've been playing, I don't know. This guy, I ain't going to bang on him too hard right now. Pause. But moving on, it's definitely going to be interesting matchup. See those guys. But Maddie, and as far as me and you spoke highly, because I super fans, if you didn't know, I'm a Red Bulls fan, Red runs through me. But also my other team is Nashville, and definitely support those guys. It's my other team. And we'll speak a little bit on the match last night, Maddie. Like I said, keep your head up. I think this was a blessing in disguise by you guys, coming up short in that match last night against Inter Miami. But, a lot can be learned from that. we'll hit on it quickly. Messi, shout out to Messi. I got to give it to him. He was on fire. He's been on fire here recently. But as we spoke about, Maddie, you guys could have made some adjustments to kind of, curtail that. But, go ahead. Speak on that.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. And both of us come from basketball backgrounds mainly. I mean, we play ball, so we know it. And I see that same scenarios when I'm watching soccer matches because – I mean, certain defensive principles will translate sports. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Messi gets the ball, he likes to go on his famous left foot. And it's like, so yes. If you know which way he's going, why did we not shade him to that direction? And that was just things like that. And also, I was telling you, I'm going to share this with the fans, if we want to beat them, then we're going to have to make him a playmaker. We can't make him, be a goal scorer or give him goal scoring opportunities like he had last night. Because he had the reason why he had a hat trick is because they were there. I mean, he was just we were just giving it to him. I felt like we had to be a little bit more disciplined and tight on him specifically. You got to let the other guys beat you. If you're going to, and they have the weapons, don't get me wrong, but some of their guys are younger and unproven. You can't have a guy who's arguably the greatest of all time and give him the scoring chances. You have to limit his scoring opportunities and let other people beat you. Let a 38-year-old Suarez with one leg try and beat you, or you know, Allende and Segovia, these other guys that are talented but young and unproven as of yet. That's who you've got to, you know. If we're talking here and Messi's got 4 assists, no goals, and he's just, you know, dishing it out, hey, then I can live with that. But he's got 3 goals and it's making it look super easy. I can't. I'm sorry. It's just like, why is this guy getting these opportunities? And as a Nashville fan, it's the entire team. But I have noticed, and so other fans have noticed as well, there's a drop off from the keeper position, and I don't know what's going to be going forward with that, because there were some of those ones where you can just tip your hat and say Messi is Messi, but there were other ones where it's just like, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and put it all on one person. That's not what this is about. But if you want to be a successful organization, you have to have some tough decisions and tough, you know, like, hey, this is what it is. The numbers don't lie. So that's my 2 cents on it. I didn't want to see Miami in the very first round. I told you this. Yes. I wanted to see Charlotte. I wanted to see my team, Nashville, move up to possibly 4th. That was the highest we could get. That was my best results from last night, was have Nashville move up to 4th, host Charlotte, or New York City, depending on who did whatever. I think it was more so going to be Charlotte. Host Charlotte and go to one of those matches. That was my goal. The second best scenario would have been, okay, we move up 1, our Charlotte hosts, which is fine by me again, because I'm closer to Charlotte than Nashville, these other places. And, right, you know, have an opportunity to go to at least one of those playoff matches. And neither one of those scenarios happened for me last night. We got to play Miami in the first round. So I'm just ecstatic. I love it so much.
Yeah. I will say this, Maddie, like you said, sometimes it's best to play the toughest opponent early, right? Because here's the thing. You got to get the best 2 out of 3, right? Yeah, Miami has they have the home field or whatnot, but this is a proving ground right here. You guys can shut up all the haters, all the mainstream media, everybody that's been pretty much jock riding, you know, Inter Miami, right? As we call them, the Pink Flamingos, right? And I think this is a golden opportunity for you. And I feel as if, like I said earlier, we talked about it. The first half, you guys had so many. Shout out to Surge. That header, Mukhtar set him up perfectly. That was awesome. That was one of the best of the year, right? Awesome. But you had so many opportunities to score within the first 25 minutes of the match. You guys were like, it was just crazy. And you didn't capitalize. So I looked at it like, okay, if you would have, it should have been at least 3-4. You just guys should have had 3 or 4 goals easy by half. Should have been up. But the fact that you didn't cash in on that, I know you guys, in your heart, you're saying, hey, we should have won that. We should have had that. We had opportunities. It just, you know, came up a little short. But nah, man, take it in stride. I know you didn't want to play him first, but I think it's going to work out great for you guys. Because if you can be into Miami, that may propel you guys all the way to the MLS Cup. You know, that type of momentum. You know what I'm saying? Like, that goes a long way. So, yeah, man. Still great. Still, you know, first half, it was great effort. Second half, like you said. And another thing you mentioned, Maddie, earlier that was perfect. You said maybe they should have, a basketball term, guys, double team Messi. Double team. You know his left foot is his strong foot. And you were saying, you know, shade him away from that side. Or guys, double team on him. And, you know, adjustments could have been made. But hey, maybe your coach, maybe he's holding back. Maybe you mentioned, what's the guy you said they didn't play him also?
Palacios? Yeah, they didn't play him at all, which was shocking. That was shocking.
So maybe he has a few cards up his sleeve. Maybe a coach, you know, he may be the secret weapon because you're going to need everybody on deck, you know, hands on deck next for the playoffs. So I believe in you guys, man. I think, you know, I'm rooting for him. I'm going to be put on my Nashville hat during the playoffs. You know, I hope you ride all the way to the MLS Cup. So moving
along. I think that's pretty much a rundown on the Eastern Conference, those games last night. Except for we got Seattle beat NYCFC, which that was of no consequence. And then the other one of no consequence was Atlanta United and DC United. They ended up 1-1. We could maybe segue if you want to talk about Atlanta United right now. Or you want to wait. I don't know what you want to do.
Perfect segue, real quick, guys.
I guess you could say it was a game of consequence, but I don't know. I feel like Ronnie Dyla had he lost his job before that match. I mean, he should have already started packing up. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, the news come out this morning that Ronnie Dyla is not the coach of the United anymore, Atlanta United. He's been relieved of his duties after a very horrible showing from a team who spent $50 million in the offseason. They're deciding to move on. And before, was it yesterday? Not yesterday, Friday or Thursday, Arthur Blank put out a statement about the team and was using very strong language such as, you know, this is not what we expect. And he was thanking the fans for their support and everything. So the writing was already on the wall before Saturday. And Saturday's just that performance and just their performance in general has just been not great. But it's not all on Ronnie Dyla. Let's go ahead and say that, number one. He was hired after they put the team together, which is insane. We've talked about it before, but I'm gonna just harp on it's a terrible scenario to already get these pieces and then say, okay, here's the pieces you have to work with. Not here's who we want to be the manager and who do you think would fit the way that you like to play. That's the best way to be successful. And they did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, and we both agree with this scenario, is the person that they should have hired. And do you want to talk about that, Mike? Who should they have hired instead of Ronnie Dyla this past offseason?
Well, hold on real quick, man. Let me get this in. Someone dial a 911. I gotta put that in there real quick, Maddie. I'm going to speak on that, but let me say this also. Okay. You're exactly right. Right, Maddie. Atlanta United, we've been there several times. That's like our pretty much, might as well say, home team and whatnot. And we've been to the stadium many times. Arthur Blank, great owner. I mean, we already know, Maddie, you're Atlanta Falcons fans too. So he got to take some of the heat for this, Maddie. He got to take some of the heat for this, right? He had a coach last year, interim coach, that did an excellent job. We've seen him have a great run. And, I mean, Atlanta looked really good going into the playoffs. You know, nobody expected him. And the way we just spoke about this, and I said the grass ain't always greener on the other side. This is a classic case of that, Maddie. It's a classic case. And I know he has his front office people. And he said that also, Maddie. He said, I'm putting the front office on notice. He said that the other day also, along with what you were saying. And, you know, because I think a lot of those guys advised them on hiring Dyla. I think that's might have been a situation. And I want to compare him to Jerry Jones, Maddie. You know, that situation, you know, the Cowboys and all of that. But maybe Arthur Blank was, you know, advised to hire this guy because he's a bigger name. You know, it's a, you know, a sexier pick as a, you know, coach and whatnot. And it backfired and blew up in their face. It really did. And it's very disappointing. You know, got a chance, I think I went to what, two matches this year or whatever. And the fans, they showed up. They supported still, but it wasn't like, you know, how I was rocking before Maddie when we went. So, Yeah, I got to give him some of the responsibility on this. You know, you keep firing these coaches like a, it's almost like a carousel if you really look at it. You know, it's, all year, all these different coaches getting fired. But, yeah, he definitely had a diamond in the rough that he let go last year. And he should have signed, let him you know, coach this year to see what the results were, see if it was a flash in the pan or was it, you know, something that was, you know, real or whatever. But, yeah, man, it wasn't a shocker that Dollar got let go. But, yeah, Maddie, I think it could have been handled better. He should have, in this case, he should have trusted his gut and stuck with this guy from last year. But go ahead.
Yeah. And for the fans that don't know, the person he's talking about from last year is Rob Valentino. And that was their interim coach after they let go of, I can't even remember the first coaches, the actual coaches. Pineda, I think his name. It was Pineda, and they fired him like in the third or fourth match. It was very early on, and because I think we let go of Gary Smith first, and then and that was like in March, and then right after that, it was Atlanta's coach. So he went most of the season. So Rob Valentino went most of the season as the manager. You're talking about 70% of the season, let's call it that, right? And they actually made the playoffs. I mean, even though it was a play-in match, they made the playoffs. Made history by beating the number one overall seed and the Supporters Shield winners in Miami last year. And that didn't get
you. Yeah, they did beat into Miami. Wow.
Yes.
Wow, you're right. I forgot about them. They beat into Miami. Wow. Wow. Dude, what? Wow. Wow, I forgot about that.
So at the very minimum, if they don't do right by him, there's been the fan base is split from what I've, you know, seeing online. Really? That half of the fan base wants to bring back Tata Martino because he's available and he won the MLS Cup with them in their very first couple of seasons. He's available. Mm-hmm. And then you got the other half. Yeah, and the other half wants to bring in Valentino back.
Valentino.
So either one of those is good options. Valentino. Either one of those is good options. But what's Arthur Blank going to do? Is he going to go with Martino or is he going to go with Valentino? Remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Who would you pick, Maddie? Me, I would go with Valentino. I would go with Valentino. Now that you reminded me that they actually beat Inter Miami, and I'm sorry, super fans, I forgot about that. That was huge. That alone should have given him the opportunity. He should have at least got a chance to coach this year. I'm rocking with Valentino.
I would have to say the same, Mike. I think that the way that the roster is constructed right now, we're about to see, and this is, you call it a Matty Savage, you know, crystal soccer ball prediction. I think they're going to blow the team up. Like, I'm serious because they spent a lot of money and got terrible results. I mean,
what?
They were going into decision day with a chance of being the wooden spoon, which is the infamous, you know, worst team in the league. monitor. Right? You don't spend that kind of money. You don't bring in these names and, oh, we got this coach who's this and that and whatever, and then you're towards the bottom. That's just, you don't do that. So that being said, it's everything. It's the whole team. It's the coach. It's got to be some of the players. If you don't want to be here, we'll find somewhere where you do want to be. And Valentino was, he wasn't afraid to play some of the younger guys. So I think that Dyla, unfortunately, through either injury or just poor form, was playing some of the younger guys too. And they, like, take their goalkeeper, Hibbert. I think that they've got a decent, you know, piece right there in him. And then there's others as well, some of the, you know, younger players who are going to be on the team. and you might have to move off of Latte Loth. I mean, you spend $22 million on a striker, and I think he what had 8-9 goals, I think is what it was. It wasn't – he didn't fulfill $22 million worth, I can tell you that much. I mean, yeah, you still got him under contract, but Miguel Almiron, another one. You spent, $10, $12 million on him and didn't – he didn't give – not the production there. I mean, he played hard. This is not a they play hard or they don't. This is simply a
production.
Based on their production's evaluation. Yes. And the production wasn't there. And this is a business, just like any other sport. And the production wasn't there, and you have to hold them accountable and say, hey, your production isn't there. We need to find somebody who can hit that production level and do it like that. You can't have fan favorites or whatever. And Miguel Almiron, I think, is one of those. He's a fan favorite, so he might get a little bit of leniency. But it's like, look, if you want to be a championship organization, like Arthur Blank said in that statement, you got to go hard party on everybody, including the fan favorites.
Yes. I 100% agree with you. Great assessment. Arthur Blank, Atlanta United, we love you guys. I hope you're listening. Take some of this good ism that Maddie's spitting right now, because I couldn't have said it better, Maddie. And Arthur Blank knows. He's a smart guy. He's, like I said, they won in 2017. He knows what it takes. He has a beautiful stadium. He has a beautiful experience. Everything there is great. You know what I'm saying? I love going to the games there at Mercedes-Benz. But the fans, yo, man, when I went, like I said, I went to that, forget that last match I went to. I think they played Columbus. And they came all the way back. It was actually a great match. Columbus was up like 4-0 or something. And Atlanta United came all the way back. And made a game of, ended up losing, I think it was like 5-4 or something like that. So it was pretty exciting. But a lot of fans, Maddie, they left at, at halftime, a lot of fans left. A lot of people got up and were leaving. And, you know, I didn't leave. You know, I am. I stayed to the end. But I'm like, I was hoping Atlanta United actually came back and won, because I would have been like, see, you left your team. You didn't have faith in your team and whatnot. But overall, Maddie, disappointing season. Not surprised that Arthur Blank made this move. But, hey, it's kind of like, hey, pie on his face right now. So now go with Valentino, you know. And I think that'll be – and everybody else has to be assessed too. Like you said, the whole roster right now, not just the fan favorites and stuff like that, because he paid too much money and he did not get the results. At all. We actually, what preseason, what we have him at? I think I had him at like 7 or 8 or something like that. That's what I predicted.
We had him up there. I want to say we both had them up there in like maybe the top 4 in the East, something like that. We'll have to go back and revisit that. And we will probably do that on another episode. Go revisit where we had, like where the playoffs actually are versus what we predicted, to kind of see. Because I know some of them are way out there. I mean, I know in the Western Conference with Vancouver, I know we both missed that one by a mile. And then on the East Coast, I know we've missed Philadelphia probably by a mile as well. So, yeah, we'll have to go back and do that. My last word in on the debacle is this. I'm gonna give my roses to a certain goalkeeper who is going to be retiring. I know you probably saw this news. I'm going to share it with the fans. Yes. Ragnzan is hanging it up for 21 seasons, and he was another big reason why they beat Miami, because he was incredible. I mean, just flat out brick wall back there. I mean, they couldn't. Messi, you could, if Lux could kill, Messi would have stabbed dude. I mean, a bunch of times, because it's, yeah, he was, I remember, I mean, yeah, on right. his head, stopping everything. God. So, gotta give Greg Guzan his roses. A very good career. He's hanging it up. Not only an Atlanta great, but just a MLS great and a Premier League great. He played for Aston Villa for a couple years as well. So, shout out to him and a very well earned retirement.
And let me give him this too. Shout out. Going to give him a super fan ovation, Maddie. I gotta clap it up for him. Great career. Yeah. Got to give him his love, give him his flowers, because you're right, Maddie. He was the reason year. You're right. He was the reason why Atlanta, one of the main reasons why they beat Inter Miami. This guy was just, man, salute to him, man, and a great career. And I know he'll still be a part of MLS and hopefully a part of, you know, Atlanta, you know, United, still part of the organization, given, you know, insight and such.
That's right. Let's move on to the Wild Wild West, because it was wild. Yes. It went down to like the last couple of games to find out playoff position in the West last night. The very first match in the West was, well, I mean, Seattle played New York. We talked about that one. I guess that's technically a West, but that was that was of no consequence. The match of consequence last night, first one, was Colorado versus LAFC. And before I get into that, let me just give a little off, little bit of praise to LAFC. All right, the week that I was out, right, or which was last week, or not last week, but the week before that, there were I think three or four matches, well, more than that, but I specifically remember, because like I said, I was in and out doing my thing on vacation, having a good time. But I specifically remember LAFC playing three times in 7 days. They played the Sunday night game. They played a Wednesday night game. They also played Sunday again. They went with two wins and one loss. And the one loss was very, very close, the last one against Austin. I don't know if a team in the MLS, they could have played that many games, that short of a, you know, span in the international break, where you're missing your guys. They were, versus Austin, they were missing Bwanga and Sun, two of their guys who've been really clicking along, and they still made a game of it. So that team there, they showed me a lot that 1 week, just because the amount of games and the adversity, and to win two out of three, that's impressive. So that's my little side note on that one. In this match here, they drew with Colorado 2-2. It was a very kind of back and forth affair. Colorado just didn't have it in them. I mean, they had to do everything in it just to tie it up. And well, they had the lead. They had the lead for a little bit, looking like they were about to win, and then LAFC made an adjustment, got a guy on, and just went out there and just did one and two man ball, got the ball, scored it. Talking about Moran, one of their midseason pickups. And yes. So that one was interesting. We got LA Galaxy played Minnesota, and the LA Galaxy got another win. 2-1 against Minnesota. I don't know what Minnesota was doing. I don't know if they're just, you know, resting up for the playoffs, because they're playing a team that was eliminated. Didn't really seem to make too much difference for them. And got San Diego annihilated Portland. It wasn't even a game.
Yeah.
They walked all over them.
It did. I mean, like a doormat. Yeah.
Wow. It was bad. What is going on with Portland?
Well, let me say this also. Let me salute, now that you mentioned those guys, San Diego FC. Let me shout them out, because they ended up being the number one. I mean, first year, I mean, that's historic, right? First year in the league, and they ended up winning the West, right? I mean, these guys were pretty much at the top all year. Just, man, it just amazing, right? And they ended up getting the tiebreaker with Vancouver, right, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, I got to shout those guys out, Maddie, because, I mean, I don't think anybody predicted them. They would be pretty good, but not this good. But, no, Portland, they made it in. What are they? I think they're the AFC coming in, right? They're going to be in the wild card match against Real Salt Lake. So that's going to be interesting. But yeah, Portland got some problems right now, brother. They got some problems coming into the playoffs, and I'm not sure If I were a betting man, you know, Maddie, I like to bet, you know, prize picks and all of that. I think MLS is on FanDuel, but if I were a betting man, I still would rock with Portland over Real Salt Lake in this wild card match.
I just think that this is showing back-to-back years of you advance up the table a little bit, and then once you get to the critical part of the season where you start to enter into the playoffs, they start dropping and dropping and dropping, because that's what happened with Portland. They were, I think, at one point as high as fifth in the West, and now we're talking about them being eighth in a play-in game. Wild card play-in, whatever you want to call it. And it's you're starting to see a pattern. When you have the same coach, you have a similar group, not the same, because, you know, got people in and out. But you start to point at who's the common denominators here as for, you know, whatever. And whenever you have a coach that, I mean, they had a historic meltdown last year in how they lost. Because they hosted and got just demolished, and here they go. They're not hosting this year. I don't think, are they?
They're the eighth seed.
They're hosting again.
Woo, yeah, they're hosting.
It sounded eerily similar to last season, man. I'm telling you. Oh, wow. So you're talking about.
That's why I was kind of giving a little.
Ghosts from the past. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. Maybe they can get it done versus RSL. We'll see. That's remains to be seen. But speaking of RSL, I was watching that match with anticipation because. On the West, you know, you got teams that you're kind of going for. You want to see them make the playoffs. For me, last night, it was San Jose. I wanted to see San Jose jump frog from, I think they were 11th. And then if the matches that went a certain way, if St. Louis beat Salt Lake and there was another one, I think, then they would have made it in. San Jose had to beat Austin, which they did. They won 2-1. They took care of business. And I think that St. Louis had to beat Salt Lake. And then so I'm watching the Salt Lake versus St. Louis match with much admiration intensity. But it ended up being a 2-2 draw for St. Louis and Salt Lake. So San Jose didn't make it, unfortunately. I thought they would have been a interesting team to get in because of their turnaround. I mean, we talked about it. They were very poor last year, and they made a big jump from one of the worst teams to almost making the playoffs. And that goes to show Bruce Arena and his culture change and identity change in the whole nine yards. So wish they could have made it, but unfortunately it didn't happen. You got St. Louis again talking about them in Salt Lake. St. Louis was putting it on Salt Lake for a minute. I mean, they're for the last 10 or 15 minutes, you could tell that they wanted to win. They wanted to end the season with a victory. It didn't quite happen. Right. I mean, they did get the 1 point in the draw, but Salt Lake is got some issues going on because that last that second half, you could tell they were holding on for dear life. I mean, they really were. They were content with a draw. And that if you're in a situation like them where you at a minimum need a draw to advance and you don't need to lose the match, they didn't go into it with a let's win this, let's finish strong. It's let's hold on and make it. And that's not a good mindset, in my opinion, to end the season on.
Yeah, Matty, I definitely agree with you. You know, RSL should have had the killer mentality, right? They should have had the Mamba mentality coming into that match last night. And you want to finish strong, as you stated, Matty, going into the playoffs. And now, man, like I said, I'm going to rock with Portland. They're going to be playing at home. RSL, maybe they were conserving their energy for this match, Wednesday showdown. So, Yeah, I definitely got to agree with you on that. You hate to see that as a super fan. You want your guys to go out there and go hard and try to win every match. And it seems as if, Maddie, they were just content to, you know, okay. Yeah, it's not going to affect us too much. Well, I think the win, they might have gave them home field, if I'm not mistaken. Not sure, but yeah, Maddie, we definitely will have to do our predictions on this wild card matchup here. And I don't know if you want to break it down or not.
Yeah, let's get into that. I'm very interested to go in on the wild card, because while we're talking about Portland, let's get on the East first, since that's fresh, right? So we got Portland and RSL. This is two teams that are playing. I would give the edge to Portland just because RSL is, I mean, hanging on for dear life. Maybe our boy Luna can, you know, have some post-game or post-season heroics and shine through. We'll see how that works. But I give the edge to Portland slightly. It's like a 51-49 type of what is it, like they have in the boxing. What is it, a split decision? They say, what is it, 10-9-9 or something like that. You know what I mean? Something like that. That's how it is for me in this one. It could go either way, but I'm gonna give it to Portland with the home field, Providence Park. See them getting it done, barely, but I think they get it done.
Said barely, so it's going to be a pretty close match. I think it's going to be a very exciting match. I got to agree with you on that. Their fans, shout out to the super fans in Portland. Those guys are crazy out there. They're always rocking. I don't care if it's raining or whatever out there. That atmosphere. I can't wait, Maddie, to watch that one, because it's going to be a crazy match, right? And I think you're right. I hope it goes to. How do they do? Wait a minute. What's the playoff? If they go to PKs, right? If it's a tie, that is correct. At the end,
yes, or, they do. They, okay. In the wild card and in the first round, if it's a draw, then they go straight to penalty kick, similar to how the Leafs Cup matchups work. And then beyond that, it's a single elimination, and then they'll go to extra time. And if it's still tied after extra time, then they'll go to penalties. But they'll play an extra period or two extra periods. So the chance of a penalty shootout in the later rounds is much rarer of an occurrence. But yeah, I could see that. I could see the Portland and RSL game going down to penalty kicks. I could see that happening for sure. Because both teams just they're closely matched, and and not closely matched as like two heavyweights going at each other. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're two teams that are underperforming currently, and they have everything to play for. I mean, their whole season to play for. But yeah, it's gonna be close, but. Whoever wins is going to have the uphill sledding to have to play San Diego, which is that's going to be loads of fun to play San Diego at San Diego at Snapdragon. So that's your
what?
That's your
shout out to the San Diego super fans.
Right, that's your consolation prize for making it, is to play the number one seed. that's on the West. Let's go over and talk about the East, because I feel like that's going to be a more competitive match.
Yeah. So the East is going to be, was it Chicago Fire and Orlando City, correct?
This is correct.
Okay. And they're playing in Chicago, I guess. Well, let me see. Orlando, we just saw they got spanked last night. In Chicago, they ended up tying. They both kind of, the last game of the season, like I said, decision day, they underperformed, right? But I'm going to give the edge to Chicago. I think Chicago I didn't have a lot of faith in them this year. I know you were kind of high on them, and you know they definitely went way above my expectations. And Orlando, I feel like they've underachieved, right? They've been kind of falling and, you know, just falling down in the standings. You know, it's a very long season, guys. We get it. What is February until December? So it's a long season. So it's a marathon. But I feel like Orlando, you know, they kind of were, you know, sliding this last portion of the season, coming to the playoffs. But as far as Chicago goes, I think they're going to, I'm going to give them the edge. I think this also is going to be a very, it's going to be a great match, Matty. I think it's going to be close. It's going to be rocking. Chicago fans, super fans, it's going to be rocking. And I expect, I'm going to say 2-1. I'm going to put a number out there, score. 2-1 Chicago at home. I'm going to do it like that.
2-1. Okay, interesting. I'm not high on Orlando. They're a team I don't really care for. And I got some stories about Orlando because I just come from Orlando. And I saw more pink Miami and Messi jerseys down there than I saw any Orlando. So that just goes to tell you all you need to know about that. And I sent you a picture. So I was at one of the stores down there. And there was a poster like display or whatever, and they had Messi, they had Miami Suarez, and they had one little thing for the entire league, the all of the teams, and it was a new display because it had all 30 teams, including San Diego, which is the new expansion team. And you wanted me to get you one, but there was literally just one of those, and I got it. But yeah, they had all of that other Miami stuff, which was, you know, still there. And I was like, I ain't messing with that. But yeah, down there, you don't really see too many, purple. I mean, you see a couple. I did see some, but it was rare. You saw way more Miami stuff down there, which is just embarrassing. That's my little tangent on that. Blasphemy, right? Yeah. I would have been utterly distraught if I had been, you know, from Orlando and seeing that stuff. I mean, it's sickening. But the team on the field has been slowly taking steps back this entire season. Last year they finished, I think it was fourth. This year they're a play-in team. And they could have been a solid playoff team if it hadn't have been for that decision day performance where they got smoked by Toronto. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, you lose 4-2 and to a team that, you know, hasn't done well all season. It was embarrassing. And I think that what's going on for Orlando is they're kind of, they've been at a certain level for so long that they're losing that hunger and that desire. Here's my, because there's a trend here from Orlando. When I started watching MLS like consistently, both me and you, first season, Nashville played them. They were the number two seed in the East. I was like, okay, yeah, because we were a seventh seed. We squeaked in to the playoffs and we had to play them. It was close, but they ended up winning as a number two seed. And fast forward one season, and they went from 2-4. It's like, okay, you know, they took a little slide, but they're still, you know, top four. That's good. 2-4 to 9. That's a drop off. Oh, and they were, like I said, they would have been seven. They would have been seven if they hadn't, you know, crapped the bed, so to say. It's not looking good. All of the momentum is going Chicago's way. They're hosting. You got a team that, like I said, they're losing that hunger, which I find ironic because their mascot is the Lions and they're losing that hunger. Don't you think that's a little bit funny, Mike?
Yes. Very ironic. Yes. And fitting.
Yeah. So my pick is going to be Chicago. I can see it being 3-1. Even the 3-0, I mean, I can see that. This is going to be another team. This is going to be another team that I predict is going to be in transition, similar to Atlanta. Maybe not to that same extent, but they're going to. There's a lot more questions about this team than answers going forward. What are you going to do? How are you? Are you? Do you feel confident about your coach going forward? He's been with the team for a long time. Do you feel good about your squad? All of this stuff. I mean, more questions than answers.
Yeah, well, we're going to get some answers. You're right, Matty. Wednesday night, it's going to be Showdown Superfans. That match is starting at 8:30 Eastern time, and then the West Coast match is going to be – wild card match is going to be at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. So I'm definitely going to be watching those, Matty. I may have to take some no-dos and get me a big cup of coffee and stay up all night to watch those matches, man, because it's going to be – I think it's going to be – both those matches are going to be great. Right now, the MLS is on display, and super fans, hey, this is why we love the MLS. You don't know the playoffs. Guys, we're going to do our preview, you know, later this week. We're very soon, the next episode, we're going to be talking about our picks for the playoffs matchups and stuff. But, yeah, Maddie, that's pretty much with the wild card. Maddie, in international, I'm going to segue over international news. It was a big shocker that just happened here recently, and we were talking about it, and I know you want to go in. You want to maybe get savage on this right here. Over there in the Premier League.
Yeah, we have mentioned this owner before, but now he's gone absolutely off the rails. Talking about the Nottingham Forest owner, Milanakis. He has well, first of all, let's paint the entire picture here. So last year nobody expected them to be where they were in the standings for the Premier League to finish. I think they finished fourth or fifth, but they qualified for European competitions. I'm not sure if it was the Champions League, but I think it was the Europa League. They definitely qualified. They advanced enough. They did what they had to do enough to play for additional, you know, championships and ultimately for more money, more prestige. All right, cool. Owner of the time at the time was fussing late with their coach about finishing strong and things of that nature. And it was already sort of something boiling already then. I think it was one of the last games of the season. Mm-hmm. He got into it with the coach and was visibly frustrated, like in front of everybody. And it was like, why did you not, you know, take him to the side and then let him know, like, doing it in that way was very demeaning, and the coach handled it with much grace. Well, starting off this season, I mean, what, two games in? If it was even that much, they let the coach go. Nuno Espirito Santo, he was let go, and he didn't seem too upset about it. He went and he got him another job. I think who's he playing? Who is he coaching? He's coaching the Wolves, I think. I want to say. But don't quote me on that 100%. That part doesn't matter. He's on another team right now. He moved on. He got another job. There you go. He moved on. And so Nottingham Forest goes out and they pick up your boy from the Spurs who was let go, as crazy as that was. Ange Postecoglou. I don't quite have that last name because that last name is very a tongue twister for me. Anyway, Big Ange, that's what they call him. And so they bring him in and okay, this is who we're going to have as our manager. He's been there like a month and then they've already let him go. They let him go yesterday. Like, I mean, right after the match, I mean, they let him go. And you're starting to see a pattern here where your owner is really starting to really get in the way. But here is where the red card comes into play. Is reported that he is considering being the interim manager for the team that he's the owner of until they find a full-time manager or an actual interim. And this right here is just This is peak Jerry Jones mentality, okay? Jerry Jones would do this if he could. I think that the NFL rules prohibit him from being the general manager and coach. He's the general manager and the owner. I mean, he would be the whole nine yards. This guy here he's on one right now. But as we talked about it, I think it'll be a humbling experience for him, and I hope it does. I hope it humbles him greatly.
Wow, Maddie, definitely a red card moment. That was a flamethrower moment right there. And we've been talking about the volatility when it comes to coaches, right? Not just MLS, but as we can see in the Premier League. And you spoke about the coach last year. He made the playoffs. I think they did slide towards the end, Maddie. They start off, they were like in the top five. I think he might have finished. Still were in the top 10. But there was no reason for him to fire, you know, Santos. There's no reason for that. It should be think about this. If you're a coach, this is any sport, guys, there should be a clause in your contract. If you had a certain winning, this is what I would do, Maddie. If you had a certain winning percentage and you're at a certain standing within your, you know, your division or conference or what have you, your job should be secure. What are they hiring you for? They hire you to win games. They hire, right? That's what a coach's job is, right? They hire you to develop a team, right? To win a championship. That's the whole purpose of playing, is to win. So when you have a guy like Santos that came in and did a great job last year, and like you said, Maddie, two, three games in, he's getting fired. And then you bring the other guy in, he's not there a month, and you fire him. What the hell are we doing, guys? What are we doing? I mean, Maddie, he's going to be hard-pressed to find. He better coach this team, because I wouldn't go over there. I don't care how much money he paid me, because I wouldn't feel comfortable. I wouldn't feel, you know, it's not worth my time that I'm going to get pretty much backstabbed. I come over here and I do my job, and I get these guys playing and you know, winning, whatever, and I get backstabbed by the, you know, the owner. A general manager. I mean, no. He needs to get his butt down there, Maddie. He needs to get out there so he can get exposed and get that smoke, you know, in my opinion. You know, because that's unacceptable, man. I mean, what are the standards? What are the standards for coaches now, guys? And you know, and this is, I know it's Premier League. Where are they at right now? I don't know they're standing over there, but regardless, 1 month is not enough time to allow someone to do their job and, you know, whatnot. But, yeah, man, that's my little,
this right here, reinforces what you were saying earlier about Arthur Blank and how he went after a sexier name and Ronnie Dyla. I think that Nottingham Forest did the same thing with Ange. Instead of saying, who fits best? It's who's got the biggest name that the people in the fan base and whatever knows. They went after and got him, but that's his style of play versus who they have on their roster did not fit. And people would have said that if he actually had people that he listened to minus himself, he would have been like, okay, he's a big name, yeah, but he doesn't fit what we're trying to do. We need to find somebody who actually fits what we're trying to do. And these owners need to stop having these big, you know, just conceited mindsets that they know it all. They need to have these people that know better than they do, and they need to listen to. He's a prime example. He is the definition of hubris, in my opinion, where it's just like, you know what? Let him be the manager for the rest of the season. Let's just see how they finish. That's good. I like what you said, Mike, about how nobody should go there. If anything, the coaches should be like, I don't care how much money he does, just to kind of humble this guy. Let him be the interim manager to the end of the season. See how far they drop, because if they drop far enough, they're going to get relegated, and it's like, oh, that'll be real pleasant to see a team that's in playing in, especially with them having European, I think the Europa League games coming up. Oh yeah, let him go up against a team like that. That's, you know, one of the better teams in all of Europe. Yeah, that'll be a real humbling experience, because it's like you can have professionals and whatnot. But if you're not, if you're the manager and you're not putting them in the right position and giving them the homework or giving them the scouting reports or putting them in the right position, you can have the best, but they won't succeed. And he's going to find it out real quick. So I encourage him. I'll give him his red card and say, don't do this. But I say this at the same time. Please do this. Do this and let it humble you. Because it'll be a good experience for you. I guarantee you this. If he does more than two games, if he's a manager for more than two games, and depending on how the results are, I guarantee you we won't hear him talking about hiring and firing another manager anytime soon. I can tell you that much.
Nah, exactly. Yeah, let him get a taste of his own medicine. That's what I say, Manny. Like you said, ego, guys. That's what this is, an egomaniac. This guy, he actually going out there to the coach. He's actually going to be, okay, let's see. I'll wait. I'm going to definitely be watching those guys. I'm going to go on football, and I'm going to be saving those matches to see what's going on over there. But, yeah, Matty, that's hilarious.
So here's an update. Here's the update. And I think that I see where he's coming from, right? So they're already in 18th. So they're already in a relegation position. So if he is the manager for a week or two weeks or whatever.
What are you saying?
They're already 18th. Okay. 18th. Go ahead. Yeah. So they're already low. Mm. So I guess that what he's trying to do is it's like damage control in a way. He's saying, I'll be the interim for a match or two until we find somebody else. So I guess what he's saying is like, hey, it doesn't really matter because we're already down so low. If they were higher up, he might not consider it. But I guess he's looking at it saying like, hey, one game, even if we lose or whatever, just somebody in the meantime. That's probably what he's thinking. But I agree with what you said. The people that he's looking into to fill that position should just say, you know what, thanks but no thanks. You can offer me $500 million a season. It's not enough money because I had to deal with you.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, it's just, I don't know where we're at, Manny. We've been seeing this pattern. It's been continuing in all pro sports, but particularly MLS and now you see Premier League. I mean, this is high stakes. I get it. But, you know, let me do my job. Let me do my job, guy. I mean, they firing people left and right. And these are highly recognized coaches. Like, these guys have, you know, this particular coach has a great track record coming in. But that wasn't good enough, obviously. I mean, they're in 18th. That is bad. But I don't know, Matty. You know what I mean? 18th is kind of bad, though. I'm just thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? 1 month is crazy. You know what I mean? That's literally firing two coaches in a month. I mean, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, that's crazy. I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So, we shall see.
I don't understand what they got going on. Okay, so Nuno Espirito Santo went to West Ham. That's what team he went to.
Oh, you went to? Okay. Good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, wish him well over there, you know.
Right, yeah. Yes, maybe they'll treat him with some respect.
That's all we want, right? Give me my respect and pay me my check, right? That's all that anybody wants. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's exactly right. All right. I think that's going to wrap us up for this episode. We got decision day in the books. We got playoffs coming up. It's a done deal. It's locked in concrete. So we're going to get back to you guys very shortly with some playoff predictions because we didn't really delve into that. We didn't talk about who we think is going to win, how it's going to go. We're going to keep that close to the chest. I think we may have talked about the Nashville-Miami matchup just a little bit because that's close to both of our hearts, both of our respective minds and heart. But other than that, I mean, it's going to be very, very competitive and entertaining playoff scenarios coming up.
Yes, it is, Maddie, and I can't wait. Can't wait, broski. This is going to be super fantastic, guys. That's what it's going to be, these playoffs. So we're going to, Maddie and I are going to keep you guys updated on everything. We're going to have our predictions here this week. And, yeah, man, can't wait.
All right, you knuckleheads. We'll talk to y'all later, sooner rather than later.
Yes, sir. Have fun, be safe, and have a super fantastic couple of days, because we'll be back here shortly. Peace.
Joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.